श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण आई सीक ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल माई सुपीरियर्स हियर एंड ऑल द वेलविशर्स एंड फ्रेंड्स. सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम टीचिंग्स ऑफ लॉर्ड चैतन्य कंटिन्यूइंग एक्चुअली यस्टरडे गौरंग प्रेम प्रभु कवर्ड many important points. So I will start from where he left. Before that, there's just one point I noticed is if we see at start of every book, there is like Prabhupada is dedicating the book to some great acharya. So this teachings of Lord Chaitanya Srila Prabhupada dedicates to the Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And we know how the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was also considered as a ray of Vishnu. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he actually prayed for him, for a child who could help him preach the glories of Lord Chaitanya. So I thought this is a very nice point to remember. Because it's Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur who actually started this preaching about Lord Chaitanya's teachings all over the world. And just on the first page in the dedication, Srila Prabhupada is saying here that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who initiated the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in the Western world, and then he writes, McGill University, Canada, in 1896, the year of my birth. So that was the year Srila Prabhupada took birth. So on the same point, I remember he dedicates Bhagavad Gita to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and Krishna book to his father, and he actually says there that my father was a pure devotee of Krishna who raised me in a Krishna conscious atmosphere, and he's very grateful for that. Can anyone guess who did he dedicate the Chaitanya Charitamrita to? So teachings of Lord Chaitanya is summary study of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yes, disciples, and pretty much he says there to all the readers. So I thought that was a very interesting point, because all other books he dedicates to some of the acharya, but Chaitanya Charitamrita he says, because he was requested to translate that book, so he dedicates that book to all his readers. So I thought that was a very interesting point. But we start reading from... So, yesterday, Gauranga Prem Prabhu mentioned a few points about immortality and how to engage everything in service to Krishna. So, that's where we are going to start reading today, in such work. Yeah. I'll just start from this paragraph. It's just like a couple more lines before. The real question is, how can we remain unpolluted by material contamination while in the material world? Srila Rupa Goswami explains that we can remain uncontaminated while in the world if we simply make it our ambition to serve Krishna. One may then justifiably ask, how can I serve Krishna? It is not simply a matter of meditation, which is just an activity of the mind, but of performing practical work for Krishna. So yesterday also there was this discussion about this point, how meditation is just an activity of the mind. So we can see, if we see the whole context, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning how he's indicating There are different types of meditation, and in further, as we go further in reading, we'll see he's talking about like monists and all those different kinds of spiritualists who do various meditations. But pretty much in chapter 6 of the Bhagavad Gita, it's mentioned very clearly how meditation is one of the limbs of the Ashtanga Yoga, where people are trying to engage their mind. But in Bhakti Yoga, we are engaging wholeheartedly in practical devotional service also. It's not just like meditating. And I was remembering that pastime that's mentioned in Nectar of Devotion, where there is this Brahmana, and he's offering sweet rice in his meditation. And then we know the whole story, how his finger was burnt, and he was like he had great symptoms experiencing that. But generally, everyone cannot just meditate in that way. And therefore, we also need to do some practical service. So gradually, we can come to those advanced conscious states where we can do those things even mentally. So I thought that was very interesting. So here, Srila Prabhupada is saying that in devotional service, we engage everything, our mind, body, our resources, and that way it becomes very easy to become free from all these contaminations. If we simply speak to people about Krishna consciousness, we are also rendering service. If our mind, senses, speech, money, and energies are thus engaged in the service of Krishna, then we are no longer in material nature. So we can see he's emphasizing on that point here. By virtue of spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, we transcend the platform of material nature. It is a fact that Krishna, his expansions, and his devotees, that is, those who work for him, are not in material nature, although people with a poor fund of knowledge think that they are. So one of the definitions of bhakti, I remember from Nectar of Devotion, is anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavrittam anukulena krishnanu silanam bhaktir uttama. So Lord Chaitanya, he actually came to teach pure devotional service. And that's what Srila Prabhupada is referring to here. Devotional service free from any material desires or mental speculation. In the preface, he mentions how there is no difference between teachings of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, he is actually giving a practical demonstration of teachings of Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So if you remember, the ultimate instruction of Bhagavad Gita was to surrender to the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya is teaching the same thing by engaging in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and offering practical devotional service. I was thinking like everyone had this experience when you are in a very surcharged, spiritually surcharged kirtan, you have experience of like totally, you know, forgetting what's going on in your mind, and you just get absorbed in kirtan and dancing and chanting and appreciating the association. It's like totally helps you go beyond the mental platform. So even like new people, when they come, they have this experience. But reading from the description in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and even Arjuna, he mentioned to Krishna that this kind of process is not so easy to perform. So, and then Krishna explains bhakti in next 6 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita from 7 to 12. Chaitanya Charitamrita teaches that the spirit soul is immortal and that our activities in the spiritual world are also immortal. The Mayavadis who hold the view that the absolute is impersonal and formless contend that a realized soul has no need to talk. So we can see the relation here now to the silent meditation and to talking. But the Vaishnavas, devotees of Krishna, contend that when one reaches the stage of realization, he really begins to talk. Previously, we only talked of nonsense. The Vaishnava says, now let us begin our real talks, talks of Krishna, the Krishna Katha. It reminds me of how Sukadev Goswami was already established in Brahman realization. And he didn't even want to take birth. But when he heard the pastimes of Krishna, especially is mentioned when he heard the pastimes of Krishna taking prasad with his cowherd friends and they glorifying him. When he heard that pastime, he became very attracted to hearing Bhagavatam. And that's when he decided, okay, I need to hear this. So, Shravanam and Kirtanam, this is very important two stages of beginning in bhakti. And it's not that only important in beginning, like just by performing these, one can attain complete perfection in devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj recommends this to Hiranyakashipu. He said, when he asked him, what's the most important thing you learned? And he was like, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. And Hiranyakashipu was infuriated, where are you learning all this? So Krishna Katha, it's very important part, and that's what we do here also. That's what we are doing now, reading from. Oh yeah, so one very important point we notice in all the writings of Srila Prabhupada, he's always like giving so many evidences against Mayavad. And he's criticizing how the modern scientists, they are misleading people. So you can see suitable to his name. He's like always establishing this bhakti, pure devotion service. And this is a tradition. It's not just Srila Prabhupada doing by himself. We can see Lord Chaitanya is doing it. The Sad Goswamis, they did the same thing. And we are trying to follow in his footsteps. We're doing the same thing. So one point I remember is when Lord Chaitanya, he was in Banaras and he met all these Mayavadi sannyasis. And then they had discussion with Prakashananda Saraswati and this point was raised. They were asking Lord Chaitanya, why don't you come and read Vedanta with us and discuss Vedanta with us. What are you doing this sentimental chanting with these uneducated people, sentimental people? And then Lord Chaitanya, we know although he's Krishna, but taking position of a devotee, and he tells Prakashananda Saraswati, Suna Shripad Ihara Karan, Guru More Murkha Dekhi Karila Shashan. And then his guru, he tells him, Tomara nahi Vedanta adhikar, Krishna mantra japa sada, e mantra sar. So Lord Chaitanya is telling Prakashananda Saraswati that I'm just trying to follow the instruction of my guru. And my guru told me that you just chant Hare Krishna mantra and you will attain all perfection. So Lord Chaitanya, he's showing by his example how by properly engaging in chanting of Hare Krishna, one can attain all perfection. But not only that, because he is practically teaching by his example, so he is showing how a disciple should take the instructions of one spiritual master as his heart and soul. In the purport to this text, is the 7th chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila. And I know there is a book actually just on this chapter that's called Lord Chaitanya in five features. So, Lord Chaitanya, he's teaching how just by taking the instructions of one's spiritual master as one's mission of life, one can achieve all perfection. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he's actually giving a commentary that was done by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. And there he's saying that one who actually takes instructions of one's spiritual master very sincerely, they will attain perfection in devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada, I have heard a couple of talks, few occasions, he said that, "I have no qualifications, I'm just trying to follow the order of my spiritual master." And he actually thanks all his disciples that, "And you all came to help me carry out his instructions." So that's the mood our acharyas, Srila Prabhupada himself, are setting. So one may become very advanced, but that's the old advanced devotees' mood is that they are always like a fool before their spiritual master. So Lord Chaitanya is showing the same thing. And then the Mayavadis, all these sannyasis, there was this whole discussion, and they all became Vaishnavas through that discussion, but it's mentioned because they are performing all these like Vedic studies, so they get credit to perform some pious activity. So it's mentioned Prakashananda Saraswati, he performed like a pious activity by asking Lord Chaitanya, "You know, you look so effulgent," and he said like, you already look like Narayan. So because Mayavadi sannyasis, they think when they become advanced, they become perfect, they will become Narayan, or they will merge in Narayan. That's their understanding. But the bhakti understanding, it's we want to keep our identity and we want to offer service to the Lord. There is a relationship. It's not just you become one. Because Prakashananda Saraswati performed that pious activity just by saying this and offering Lord Chaitanya to come and sit with them and discuss with them and appreciating him as Narayan. So Lord Chaitanya gave him mercy. Then all these Mayavadis, they became Vaishnavas. So that's how Lord Chaitanya did it. But we see even the pranam mantra of Srila Prabhupada, there is like nirvishesha shunyavadi. So Srila Prabhupada also, many people, they retire at that advanced age, at the age Srila Prabhupada started sharing this message of Srimad Bhagavatam, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. But that's when he really got into action, because before that there were so many years of preparation in translating all these books and so much endeavor to start things in India before that. If you read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, there is like a whole detail on those. So, Srila Prabhupada also carried that mood, and we can see in the writings, he's always giving so many evidences against these Mayavadis. Yeah, now there will be an analogy explaining that about the Mayavadis. Previously, we were, this one is, in support of their view. Now let us begin our real talks of Krishna. In support of their view that the self-realized remains silent, the Mayavadis are fond of using the example of the water pot, maintaining that when a pot is filled with water, it makes a sound, but that when it is unfilled. When it is not filled, it makes no sound. But now Srila Prabhupada is saying, but are we water pots? How can we be compared to them? A good analogy utilizes as many similarities between two objects as possible. A water pot is not an active living force, but we are. Ever silent meditation may be adequate for a water pot, but not for us. Indeed, when a devotee realizes how much he has to say about Krishna, 24 hours in a day are not sufficient. It is the fool who is celebrated as long as he does not speak. For when he speaks, for when he breaks his silence, his lack of knowledge is exposed. The Chaitanya Charitamrita shows that there are many wonderful things to discover by glorifying the Supreme. So, just from the same discussion, I remember another point in the purport Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that although Lord Chaitanya did say that he does not have any right, any adhikar to study Vedanta, but we know like how he defeated Keshava Kashmiri, who was like a great celebrated scholar in his days. And that's when Lord Chaitanya was like a young boy. So he was also showing one has to be philosophically learned also. And that's when one actually becomes a Brahmana. The Brahmana should be educated in the Shastras. And we see Srila Prabhupada is always quoting Shastras when he's making these points. And there is actually, once mind, it becomes very strong, very fixed in service when one is actually learned in these Shastras. Because all these shlokas, they give us inspiration, they give us strength. And even when one is not feeling very strong, one can just remember those shlokas, they come and they help us. So another analogy that Srila Prabhupada gives in relation to this is like how we see in the ocean, similar kind of analogy. He says in the ocean, like all the rivers merge. That's, I think, another analogy the Mayavadis give, that how all the rivers merge in the ocean and they become one. But then Srila Prabhupada said that if you go deep in the ocean, you see there is so many different living entities. So one has to go deep in devotional service also. And that's when we can have these amazing experiences. Of course, even making a start is great. It's very rare, as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. So it's like very rare someone takes to devotional service. But then we also want to go further, and that's what our acharyas, our gurus, they want us to grow. We don't have to remain a child all the time. And that means like we also have to study these books and learn these books so we can use these evidences in presenting Lord Krishna very nicely. In the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami writes, I offer my respects to my spiritual masters. He uses the plural here to indicate the disciplic succession. He offers obeisances not to his spiritual master alone, but to the whole parampara, the chain of disciplic succession beginning with Lord Krishna himself. Thus the author addresses the guru in the plural to show the highest respect for all his predecessor spiritual masters. I'll finish here. After offering obeisances to the disciplic succession, the author pays obeisances to all other devotees, to the Lord himself, to his incarnations, to the expansions of Godhead, and to the manifestation of Krishna's internal energy. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes called Krishna Chaitanya, is the embodiment of all of these. He is God, Guru, devotee incarnation, internal energy, and expansion of God. As his associate, Nityananda, he is the first expansion of God. As Advaita, he is an incarnation of, as Gadadhar, he is the internal potency. And as Srivas, he is the marginal living entity in the role of a devotee. Thus, Krishna should not be thought of being alone, but should be considered as eternally existing with all his manifestations, as described by Ramanujacharya. In the Vishishta Advaita philosophy, God's energies, expansions, and incarnations are considered to be oneness in diversity. In other words, God is not separate from all of these. Everything together is God. So, it's saying how Lord Chaitanya, he does not come alone. He comes with all his associates. Just like we see when Krishna appeared, before his appearance, so many different demigods and all these other higher beings, they took birth. He actually personally told them, okay, he informed Brahma, I will be taking birth and you make all preparations. And so many different demigods and higher beings, they started taking birth in different families in Vrindavan. So same way we see this verse where it's mentioned Lord Chaitanya comes with Lord Nityananda, Gadadhar, Shivas, Advaita Prabhu. And we know from Srimad Bhagavatam also that verse Srila Prabhupada quotes quite often, Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yagya Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Hi Sumedusha. So he comes with his associates. He does not come alone. And in that verse, actually, it describes, there are many points that's described, but one point that's described is this word Krishna Varnam. Lord Chaitanya, I will stop with this point. Lord Chaitanya, there are two aspects of Krishna Varnam. One is he's always describing Krishna, and another is name of Krishna is always on his tongue. So this is something we can remember. We can try and imbibe as much as possible for us. And that way we will stay free from all this contamination and will be very easy to remember Krishna and engage in devotional service. So just to recap, there were a few points. One was like about the between Mayavadi and devotional service. You should understand these differences, and it also helps us become free from all these impersonalistic tendencies that we may have to various degrees in ourselves. Another was about devotional service, how just by engaging in devotional service, by talking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, we can remain free from contaminations, and it can help us grow in our practice. And the last one is how Lord Chaitanya or Krishna is never alone. He's always with his associates. So this is a very important point. There was a few other things. There is a very beautiful song where it mentions one who just understands the associates of Lord Chaitanya, they can become completely liberated souls. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.